All right, Mr. Mayor, we are rolling.
Great, thank you. Good evening. This is the City of Morro Bay City Council. This is a special meeting. It's Wednesday, November 10th, 2021, 4 p.m. This meeting is being held via teleconference. Pursuant to Executive Order N08-21, signed by Governor Newsom on June 11th, 2021, this meeting will be conducted telephonically through Zoom and broadcast live on cable channel 20 and streamed to the city website. Please be advised that pursuant to the executive order and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that could spread the COVID-19 virus, the Veterans Hall will not be open for this meeting. Thank you. Good evening. And I'll ask the clerk if she'll establish a quorum, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Addis?
Here.
Councilmember Barton?
Here.
Councilmember Ford?
Here.
Councilmember Heller?
Here.
And Mayor Hedding?
Present. Thank you. We do have a quorum. I will call this meeting to order. Welcome, everybody, to our special meeting this evening. This is a meeting to review our city goals and to adopt the goal statements, as well as short-term and long-term action items. And in addition, we have a second item, which is discussion and providing direction of state representation to support the City of Morro Bay projects and economic initiatives. This meeting, again, can be accessed via either telephone or directly through Zoom, and that information will be provided on the screen at the appropriate time. So I am going to open up public comment. This is public comment only for items on this agenda, not general public comment. Again, public comment for items number one and or number two on this agenda this evening. And public comment is now open. And Hyland, do we have a public comment, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There are no raised hands in the queue.
Okay. I will go ahead and close public comment, bring it back to the council, and introduce item number one, which is a discussion of city goals and action items adoption. Turn it over to our esteemed city manager, Mr. Collins, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you, Mayor and council members, community members. I'm going to go ahead and start the presentation and share my screen. One moment, please. You see that okay?
Yes.
Great. Okay. Well, we are at the tail end of the city council goal process, and I'll go into a little bit of detail how we got to where we are today, but just wanted to thank the council for participating in this, as well as all the community members who provided input, as well as our advisory board members and nonprofit organizations that support the business community in providing input to this process. Let's see. So we're going to review the goals process that got us here to date, talk about our city purpose or mission, and then the draft goals and draft goal statements that were discussed at our goals forum back the end of September, and then review the draft short-term and long-term action items that council tasked us with bringing back for review. Already took public comment, and then council discussion and hopefully adoption. So going back on the goals process, we received community input through the months of July and August through a POLCO poll. I think we received nearly 200 comments, and we provided a summary of all that information to council in a couple meetings, both the August 24th special council meeting and the September 29th community workshop that was facilitated. We also provided input through the five advisory boards and commissions, as well as the newly formed TBID and chamber as well. After the community workshop was completed, staff refined the goals and the draft statements and developed an action plan, which we're discussing today. So today is hopefully the moment where we adopt the goals and action items that will carry us through the remainder of this calendar year and all of 2022, and probably a few months into 2023 before we start the goals process all over again. We will then take information from this meeting to the advisory boards and form their work plans for that same time period. And then our goal is to provide quarterly updates on our progress to City Council moving forward. So this is important. Our purpose or mission statement is that the city of Morro Bay provides essential public services and infrastructure to maintain a safe, clean, and healthy place for residents and visitors to live, work, and play. This purpose statement was developed back, I want to say, in 2015 or 16, I think still holds true. At our core, that's what we're here to do. That provides a level of well-being for our community in theory. One thing to note, especially with having new team members on the executive team and elsewhere in our organization, it's come to light that while we've been very fortunate to provide this base level of service or foundation, if you will, to our community, and the community has invested in that through improving tax increases through Measure Q and E and other support volunteer organizations, donations to things like our Friends of the Harbor, Friends of the Firefighter, Fire Department, et cetera, we find our place at a point where it is challenging to maintain those core services with the great resignation or churn that we're seeing in the overall labor market and economy. It is hard to hold down these services. And so this is just a reminder that this is what we're here to do, to provide our community. And this is, if we do this well, it allows us to look at those forward-looking goals that are discussed later in this presentation. But we are facing some challenges in terms of capacity. So it's something we want to definitely keep in mind moving forward. And all the council members acknowledged this at the community forum back at the end of September. So those goals were delineated through that process on the 29th of September. Here are the goals in no particular order: achieve fiscal sustainability and economic vitality, improve public infrastructure, address housing issues, climate action, and improve community health. Council provided attempts at a goal statements for each of these five goal areas that really helped define and delineate ultimately what the outcomes we're seeking under those goals. And then staff went forward and created about 30, maybe 31 short-term action items that would help achieve those goal statements, which we'll describe in the next slides. So here are the goal statements. These are summaries, but you can find it in the staff report. Under the public infrastructure goal, again, no particular order or preference or priority in these goals. Council at least hasn't said one priority over the other, but for public infrastructure, it's to address cleanliness and safety in our tourism business areas. That also includes balancing whatever mechanisms we put in place with also maintaining the ecosystem for our wildlife in those areas. So it's important to work with our business community, but also those folks in the nonprofit sector who look out for our wildlife. And there's definitely a balance to strike there. Conduct capital needs assessment and address traffic circulation in Embarcadero. Under the fiscal economic goal, come up with a plan to address unfunded liabilities while also striving to achieve competitive compensation for staff. Funding pathways for capital needs. This is Harbor was emphasized, but we know we have capital needs throughout our infrastructure system, and support expedient catalyst site redevelopment. Under climate action is to participate with other cities in Slo County to support climate action planning efforts, educate council on technical terms of climate action as well as staff to support policy advocacy and the identification of critical next steps for Morro Bay, consider opportunities to reduce reliance on carbon producing energy sources. For the community health goal, create a plan to address immediate need for increasing COVID-19 vaccination rates with an emphasis towards targeted populations with inequitable access or education, and educate council and staff about diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DIE, and engage in a community conversation. Last but definitely not least is the housing goal, and that's to educate council and staff on state legislation on housing, as well as just general education on housing in general. Identify opportunities for additional housing options and explore partnerships, and continue community development department's process improvement efforts. So again, those are the goal statements. They're not necessarily actions in and of themselves, but they help kind of hone in and focus the areas in which the organization is going to apply resources to move the needle on these goals. And then staff took that and worked on action items, some of which, you know, we're already working on from the last goals process from a couple of years ago. And we broke those out into kind of time segments. The short term, which we'd be asking you to approve tonight, is the next 12 to 14 months that carry us through this month through the first few months of 2023 before council embarks on a new goals effort. And then there's the longer term, which are 2 to 4 year, you know, maybe 5 year horizon. It's important to note a lot of the short term action items really kind of lead into the next 2 to 4 years, longer term action items. There's an evolutionary component to those that sort of link, you know, current to the future. So they sort of build on upon each other. Obviously, as I mentioned before, key considerations in adopting these is to be cognizant of both staff, but also council capacity, how much we all can take on in any one given time. And also making sure we have budget and other resources available to achieve those action items. So I'm going to bring up, unless there's any questions, I'm just going to bring up the worksheet that, if you bear with me one moment here.
Wow, that's a lot of documents.
Yes, I know. Here we go.
That's all the work that he does.
For so sure. here, can we see the worksheet? Is that okay? I'll make it a little bit bigger.
A little bit bigger, yeah.
Here, okay, great. So each of these columns represent the goal areas. So I'll go to the top. So from left to right is public infrastructure, then fiscal sustainability, housing, climate action, and community health. And again, this was attached to the staff report, but you have the goal statements, which are listed first. And then you sort of have focus areas. These are the words taken directly out of the mouths of council members on the meeting on the 29th of September. And then we turned those sort of short-term kind of focus areas into actual action items. And so we have identified about 31 or 32 specific short-term action items. And I'd be happy to kind of read through them, Mayor, if that's appropriate, or if you just want to assume everybody's read this and we can move forward.
I assume everybody's read it, but perhaps for our public, Scott.
Sure thing.
Any articulation that you want to make regarding?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that. It'll take a little bit of time, but I think it's worthy of the exercise. And like you said, community knowing what's going on. So this side right here, this left second column to from the beginning is public infrastructure goals. So these are action items that we would propose to take in the next 12 to 14 months. One is to conduct a traffic speed survey, which we haven't done in quite some time, which would allow us to help overall determine what our actual speeds are on the main roads and allow us to enforce those more effectively than we currently do. There's no hit on the police department. It's just we have to have an updated traffic speed survey to actually be able to enforce. We heard a lot of talk about doing an assessment of our capital needs, and council has already put forward $200,000 into our budget for this fiscal year to do that. It probably will cost more than that. Just by way of example, the One Water plan that looked at water, sewer, and stormwater was a $700,000 effort. So this would be a good place to start. We're going to try to focus in on those priority areas, and we definitely have heard the harbor is one of those key areas, so we definitely look into that. The traffic speed survey is not budgeted for, but those are typically around $50,000. Just want to give an example or kind of scale for what that would cost. Next is to review options and develop optimal staffing for city maintenance efforts. This is something that Public Works Director Greg Wallach is looking at very closely to make sure we're appropriately staffed to handle not only the kind of crush of visitors in the peak months, but also addressing all the odds and ends that maintenance is responsible, such as our parks, our trees, our lighting, the roads for kind of minor maintenance, and a whole host of other things that I'm not identifying, including maintaining our facilities. So we want to make sure we're optimally staffed, and we currently probably aren't. And so that may be an additional budget component. The next one is about the paid parking pilot program. And there was a caveat about whether or not, you know, council wanted us to proceed forward with the pilot. And we We got direction to do that last night. So we'll be looking at bringing that forward to council probably in 2022, which is hard to believe. That's a year that's just around the corner. And then pursue grant opportunities for the Coleman Beach area, since we've already put an emphasis on that and getting community input. And there's a lot of opportunity with the state Prop 68 for additional grants to help bring to life that area. Under the fiscal sustainability and economic vitality goal, which is the next column over, one of the action items is to seek state lobbyist contract to assist in obtaining state funding for city projects. There's a lot of money available in the state budget moving forward. Of course, the new infrastructure bill that the president is likely to sign could bring additional funding to the state that could be available for cities. So there's a lot of opportunity. We want to make sure we're taking advantage of that, and it's subject of a discussion later this evening. We want to assess the viability for business improvement districts for downtown Embarcadero. That's already under the chamber's charge for this year. So that would be something we would like to get more information on this year. Review development opportunities for the Market Street Plaza property, which the city owns and on the waterfront. Complete the fee study. We've done most of the fee updates, but we still have work to do on the development impact fees. And I know the community development team is looking at that. Continue review of the Vista proposed battery project. Assess cybersecurity needs. That's becoming a very critical issue for all, basically any organization that's online, and cities definitely are online, and cities have been subject of attacks from hackers that hold the city hostage, shutting down all their systems, and they can't really function without paying a ransom. So this is an area we're very much concerned about. And then prepare and review policy options on liabilities, pension and healthcare primarily. So that rounds out the immediate action items for the next year for fiscal and economics. And then the next goal statement over is housing. And so we have some stuff already in the works, so including completing the zoning code update out in the follow-up for the general plan being approved by Coastal Commission. I left out a word here, but this was supposed to say development of a stock accessory dwelling unit or ADU kind of stock plans that we would be able to provide to the public for free to help lower the cost of developing ADUs. This is a thing that Scott and his team on the community development team are working across the county to collaborate on, which is great. Provide an update to council on new housing legislation, including Senate Bill 9, which is probably revolutionary for housing legislation and really not well understood. And, we're all trying to scramble to understand what it means for Morro Bay, and also get just general education on housing. Implement the housing element, which was one of the first approved in the state, including looking at things like reviewing housing by right, objective design guidelines, ADU ordinance, update with the incentives, update the density bonus, and inclusionary housing requirements. There's interest at the Seashell Estates, which is that sort of weird road out by South Bay Boulevard. It's like a cul-de-sac to nowhere. The owner, I think that's been sold, and the owner is interested in upzoning that, increasing density from single family homes to 7 to 15 units per acre, which would allow for multifamily housing, which is sort of the missing middle housing developments that everybody talks about, but it's very hard to bring into fruition in California. Complete CityWorks public facing portal and integration of DigiePlan, which is a lot of gobbledygook, which just really means allowing people to submit their plans online and staff work online, where the rest of the world is moving towards, and reduce paper generation and hopefully improve processing times, and initiate work with the Planning Commission Ad Hoc Committee for a review of the planning process. Moving on to the climate action goal right here. Again, these are the short-term actions we're proposing. Pursue funding to complete a climate action plan update. Continue to review Vista proposed battery project. You heard that over here, but this definitely touches the climate action goal. Pursue electric vehicle charging station funding. I know that's a hot ticket item, and we're looking to do that on the public side. And I know a lot of developments coming forward would also probably include EV stations on private development. Initiate implementation of Senate Bill 1383. We've already taken some action as a city on that, but that's the organic waste for residents and businesses and diverting that away from the landfills. Promoting Central Coast Community Energy, R3CE, which is a JPA we're part of that allows our community to have choice about their electricity, where they purchase it from. The 3CE has a program called New Construction Electrification Program, which is trying to move homeowners away from gas and into electricity use, electricity utilities and in their kitchens and so forth. And so there's a program coming out of that group to really help push that into the homes that are already in existence. And I know there's discussion about, you know, perhaps looking at our ordinance or building code about maybe some requirements and making that for any new development that would just be part of it. So something to discuss. Designate 1 week a year to conduct a renewable energy outreach campaign targeting a specific group. This is something that Scott recommends. And then also creating a city webpage with links to energy efficiency websites, since we believe that consumer choices are going to be changing, especially with what's going on in Glasgow right now, that there's going to be more interest in understanding how, you know, as consumers, we can change our habits. The last goal is a community health goal over here on the right side, which action item is to provide education to city council staff about DEI issues or diversity, equity, and inclusion. Support SLO County public health communication efforts to increase vaccination amongst our community, and particularly the underrepresented folks. Inform the county in their process to update the 10-year plan on homelessness. This is something we're already doing, and I represent the city managers in the county on this team that's looking to update that 10-year plan. Explore opportunities to support county efforts to address homelessness issues on the North Coast. Support the Filipino American group in their rededication event that they're hoping to bring forward next October for the historic monument at Coleman Beach. And then review opportunity for the Boys and Girls Club to offer enrichment activities for teens in the Estero Bay region. They do focus on just the general population, but they, you know, other communities have done excellent work with the underrepresented youth. So those are, again, I think there are about 31 action items that are set for the short term. I won't go into the next level of the 2 to 4 years, but certainly if council has questions about those, I can get into that detail, but that might take us too far afield on this discussion tonight. So happy to go into that here if you'd like me to, or just
leave. No, I think that's appropriate, Scott. Okay. But if council has questions about the longer term initiatives, right, we can address those too.
Very good. And I won't bring the presentation up again, but what we're recommending is that council adopt or approve the goals statements and the short-term action items with any modification that you may have, adds or subtractions. And then the next steps would be to share work plans with the advisory boards and commissions as they relate to these action items, and then provide those quarterly progress updates to council moving forward.
And after the input from the advisory councils, will they be coming back to council?
No, we basically be telling them, here's what you'll be working
okay
on based
okay
on what council is adopting today. In the same document, the worksheet also sort of identifies some ideas about what they could help us with. Since I think that was Councilmember Heller and probably a few other councilmembers had identified that, you know, we do a lot of work with volunteers and the advisory boards, and there's ways of sort of sharing the load, as it were, based on that model that our facilitator told us, don't put the city in the middle of the issues, put the issues in the middle and then use all the resources to help address those. And definitely going to take cues from that. So happy to answer any questions you all have and appreciate your time.
Thank you, Scott. And I was just going to say, I agree with that process regarding the advisory boards. We've already gotten their input and used that to construct the goals. So I was hoping we weren't going to go back and then bring them back again. So first, let me just thank you and your staff for taking the high level goal statements that we created and fleshing out some specific objectives over the next short-term period, 12 to 14 months, that specifically we can focus on, and then also providing a longer-term picture of where we might be headed with regard to these issues. What I want to do is have council just weigh in with answers to this basic question. Are these inclusive of all of the items you like to see? Do you feel they're prioritized correctly? And or do you have input to add that perhaps didn't capture the intent of statements maybe you made or were made in general? And are there changes that you might want to suggest with regard to this, and we can have discussion on that. And when you refer to it, if you could obviously refer to the specific bucket or area, which is called the goal theme, and then the item specifically you'd like to address. We'll do that, and I'll take notes and then come back, have a little debate about that, and try to end up with a consensus on this. So, again, Scott, thanks to you and your team. I know it was a lot of work. You turned it around quickly. I appreciate that very much. And I know that you used the lens or the filter of staff capacity and capability, hopefully, because the last thing we want to do is overload our staff with some very lofty goals or difficult goals that are unachievable. So I suspect that you've done that and feel that these can be accomplished based upon our capacity and capabilities.
That is correct. And I also want to thank all the staff members here and others who participated in the process. And yeah, and y'all definitely underscore the capacity, and just, you know, we pride ourselves on being efficient and doing everything we can with limited resources. And I think part of that is you can grind an organization to a halt if you're not properly resourced, then that's a focus that we're going to have, you know, kind of going into the next year's budget. So
great. Well, thanks.
Yeah,
you bet. And I'll be your note taker, council member. So I'll try to capture your inputs and then come back with a summary. And I do see a raised hand. Council member Heller, you got in there first, right under the wire. And sir, you're up.
Thank you so much. I would just like to agree with the mayor. I think that this is like so superior to the other goal setting processes because it's been filtered through staff capacity. And historically, we have a long list of goals, but we haven't really talked to staff much about, well, what do you think we can actually get done in addition to your day-to-day jobs, which are demanding and intense as it is. So my hat's off to you, Scott, and your staff for doing that. And to Summer Carley and her work on this. And it's just, to me, you know, I can't find anything wrong with it. The listening really did happen. It's gone through your capacity filter. For me, it really hits all the hot buttons for me. And I just tell you, it's just like the best goal setting session I've experienced here at Morro Bay as an elected official or a resident. And hats off to you and our consultant for getting this together. I mean, that's, I have nothing I want to change or pick at. Can you believe it?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, thank you, Councilmember Hillary.
Thank you so much. You don't have to write anything down, Mayor.
I just wrote your name down. That's it.
Okay, there you go.
I appreciate that. And again, thank you for recognizing staff. Councilmember Addis, I do see your hand, ma'am.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'll echo Councilmember Hiller's comments and appreciation of staff, and just front load that I have talked to staff about what I'm about to bring forward. And so as I ask my colleagues for support with this, it's with the understanding that I've talked to staff about capacity compared to the impact of what I'm asking. And I would like to bring forward that we elevate climate to declaring an actual climate emergency. I say this within the context of $15 billion has just been released into the climate space. And so I think Morro Bay showing the urgency around these issues could bode well for us in terms of getting this money to our community. But I also say it within the context of the UN Climate Summit that's happening, the requests from young people that there's a climate emergency declared worldwide. I do think it's the biggest threat that we in Morro Bay face We've had our own firefighters going to what I would call mega fires. We're experiencing mega droughts. We have unpredictable rainfall and superstorms, ocean acidification. We have stuff going on with our own eelgrass, which I think is improving, but is an issue. We recently had a grant come forward to monitor air quality. Our general plan is very much centered around climate action. And I think it's time for us to declare this the emergency that it is and to take appropriate action in terms of getting the resources that we need to address this for our city in particular.
Got it. Captured. And I'll bring this back for discussion when everybody's given input. Okay. Well, thank you, Councilmember Addis. I appreciate that. I've made that note. And thank you for the rationale for it as well. Councilmember Ford, I see your hand, ma'am. Please.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. I also want to echo what our previous council members have said. I'm impressed. I looked through here and I honestly didn't expect to see this many items of action on both short-term and long-term. I thought maybe, you know, they would just cherry pick a few things and then focus on that. But I feel like staff has done a really amazing job, doing their best to cover all of the items that we discussed this summer. And it's just, it's a beautiful list and I'm excited to move forward with these items. But I want to bring up something on the list under climate action. We have under our short-term goals to promote Central Coast Community Energy 3CE new construction electrification program and include in planning materials and on the website. I actually also discussed this issue with staff as well and their capacity. And I would like for Morro Bay to join over 50 other California cities, such as San Luis Obispo, Santa Cruz, and Santa Barbara, to implement the Central Coast Community Energy REACH Code Incentive Program as soon as possible. I request that our city staff begin working with 3CE to implement the REACH Code Incentive Program within our residential sector, limited to the electrification of new construction by including this in the 2022 building code adoption, which will take place on January 1st, 2023. And when it comes to climate action, we've got to do what we can to reduce toxic pollutants that go into our air, and including inside our homes and then beyond. And if we take advantage of this offer, our city staff costs associated with the adoption could possibly be reduced by a one-time payment from 3CE for up to $15,000. So I want to just add that, if possible, to our short-term goals. Do you need me to repeat any of that, Mayor? You're muted.
That could be a good thing. I'd appreciate it if you could repeat it. That would be helpful. I'm trying to capture it. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to skip the fluff. I'm going to get right to the
specific goal. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm requesting that the city begin working with 3CE to implement the REACH Code Incentive Program within our residential sector, limited to the electrification of new construction. And tell me when to stop if you need me to stop.
No, go ahead.
By including this in the 2022 building code adoption, which will take effect on January 1st, 2023.
Got it. That's a mouthful.
It is. But I'm done. Thank you.
I got it. Thank you. Is that clear for everybody? I just want to make sure everybody is clear with regard to that. Perhaps you could just expand, for those that aren't familiar with CCC, the REACH code just very briefly?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the particular part of the 3CCE, the REACH code that I'm requesting is to promote electrification in our new building only. I'm not requesting at this time because of staff capacity. I'm not requesting that we enter, you know, the commercial construction or retrofits, you know, things of that sort, just only new construction for residential. But with electrification, what we would be doing is moving away from natural gas in our construction. We would be using electricity. So our appliances and whatnot would be for future housing would be all electric instead of gas powered. And it's proven that gas powered appliances increase the toxicity in people's homes and increases lung issues with children, and especially children with compromised lung issues such as asthma. And it also, you know, pollutes our air as well outside of our homes. But, you know, it's just something that I believe if we're taking bold action with climate action, this is a step in that direction without, you know, taking a huge leap, but taking a smaller step to move in that direction. And after consulting with staff, this is something that is within our planning, our planning department's capacity. And so
got it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with that.
Appreciate that. And thank you both, for checking in with staff. I really appreciate that. I know we repeat capacity and capability a lot, but I just want to say proactively, that was, very helpful that you did that, and it really helps me, feel good about, supporting new goals. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Good go. Okay. Any other inputs? Councilmember Barton, anything to add or changes?
I too, like Councilmember Heller and both Councilmember Addis and Ford, was thrilled to see this list, the way that it came back to us in such a good order, and a way to see it and to know that staff thought about it and wasn't just, you know, spooning it right back to us. They really put the thought into it and what they could manage in this amount of time. It's an exciting list, and it moves us forward in a number of different areas that I had only thought or dreamed maybe that we might get to it. And this is a wonderful list. So I'm pretty excited. And I like both of the additions, the 3CE thing and the what Don was talking about. Both of those, I think, are good additions. They kind of fit right into the whole scheme here. So I am very excited about this list.
Thank you, Councilmember Barton. Appreciate your affirmation of that. And Councilmember Addis's suggestion was, I believe if I caught it correctly, would be to change the bucket for climate action to climate emergency. Oh, great. Okay. Thank you.
To declare a climate emergency,
yes.
Whether we change the bucket or, you know, have to pass some kind of resolution, whichever way that works out.
Got it. Great. Thank you for that. And for myself, I'll reaffirm the comments that were made previously. Frankly, Scott and team, I don't know how you guys do it so quickly. And really, I mean, you captured it so well and were able to come back with some meaningful objectives. I guess I shouldn't be surprised anymore because of the great team that we have, but I am. And I'm also very appreciative of it. For myself, regarding community health, I had specifically referred only to one piece of what my mind was thinking when we were formulating our goals, and I alluded to it last evening with my statements, opening statements at council regarding mental health. What I had discussed at our goal setting session was issues with substance abuse and specifically opiate overdoses beginning to affect our county. More broadly, what I'm concerned about is the growing and mounting data that indicates we are, as a result of this pandemic, experiencing what I would consider to be a behavioral health or mental health crisis. And that has implications that broadly affect our community in a number of ways, including increase in substance abuse, alcoholism, drug abuse, et cetera, significant increases across the country with regard to depressive illness, major psychoses, those kinds of things, as well as exacerbation of previously controlled behavioral health issues that are manifesting again as a result of the pandemic. So I don't want us to cure the world with regard to all of the mental health issues. My request, and I didn't ask staff, so I'm going to slap myself for not, I'm violating my own rule of capacity determination and capability determination, but perhaps if we could add somewhere in our goals that we would provide community education and information regarding access to mental health resources, and specifically referring to the items that I mentioned as a result of our pandemic. All indicators are that the incidence of these illnesses is going to increase over the next several months, if not years, as a result of the pandemic, and it will become of great concern regarding the public health. And so all I'm asking for is somehow that we are able as a community to provide access information, not actually to open a clinic or anything like that, but that we do our best to inform our community that there are these issues and where they can go within the county to get help. So hopefully I articulated that, and it's not too big of a goal, Scott, that will impact staff significantly. And if it is, I would be happy to withdraw it. But I apologize for not talking to you ahead of time about that. That would be my requested change with regard to that. I support Councilmember Ford, Councilmember Addis's recommendations, and have no problem with adding those or making those requested changes. And so I'll look for any head nods with regard to perhaps all three of those changes that have been articulated. Thank you, Councilmember Heller. I do see your hand.
Yeah, I would like to comment on it. Mayor, first of all, you don't need to check with staff first. You're the mayor.
So, you know, well, no.
I just want to remind you.
No. I'm just a guy.
In all seriousness, I think your suggestion is spot on. You know, for those of us who read the police blotter in Estero Bay News, 90% of the interactions between the police and citizens are drug or alcohol related. It's a serious problem here in Morro Bay. And Mayor, I think really we might want to go even further than you mentioned in terms of educating the public, but I think that's a great first step that we need to make access to services available to the people who need it. And the people are walking around on our streets. They're right here. It's not something that's happening in another part of the state or another part of the county. It's happening here, broad daylight, and the police will certainly back that up. So I really appreciate you adding that to the list, although I'm reluctant to add anything to the list because it's so ambitious. With respect to climate change, if you don't know, I think it's an extremely serious issue. As you know, I'm involved in the waste end of it. I have different certifications related to climate change with respect to building and how things get built. The word emergency to me, for some reason, should be reserved if it will get us funding that we would not otherwise apply for. Otherwise, it seems kind of like a panic button to me, to be frank. And I'm wondering if staff could comment on the word emergency and if it will or will not qualify us for funding that we might not otherwise be able to receive. Any comments about that? We may not know the answer.
I know in some cases, at least in the past, where cities have declared emergencies around things like homelessness, there was a perception that may line them up, those cities up for funding if funding became available. But in this case, I would need to defer to Scott Graham if he has any sense on this issue, if Scott's available.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. I don't know if there's any funding available in this space currently. I don't know if, you know, the city officially declaring, like, say, through resolution or something along those lines, you know, would line us up or not. I don't have information along those lines, really. I know that, you know, I know some cities have done this, though. This is not something that's you know, not unheard of, in other words. So.
Okay. So, in my other thought about, with all respect, Councilmember Addison and Ford, the climate action items that are listed here, participate with other cities to support climate action planning efforts, educate council on the technical terms around climate action, consider opportunities. This is where we are at, I believe. I believe educating the council and the public about these issues should be step one. My concern about immediately jumping to adopting a standard, particularly with respect to housing, when we're talking about providing affordable housing on the one hand and talking about raising the cost of housing on the other. I'm not saying that we shouldn't choose climate change over affordable housing, but there's a definite relationship there. And I think until we're all better educated about the options in front of us, we'll be in a better position to take specific steps that you've suggested. And I'm reluctant to add anything new to the list. I think this is a great list. Of course, the mayor can add whatever he wants. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Hiller. Any other comments from council members? I believe the intent of it was not to add a large number of items to do. Councilmember Addis, correct me if I'm wrong, but to make the declaration that we're in alignment with I think what's going on right now on the world stage, with the declaration that there is a climate emergency. And that means that more drastic action needs to be taken, even at the local level. And personally, not knowing for sure, I do believe that that does open us up to improved opportunities for funding if we make that declaration, but don't quote me on that, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that's a really good synopsis, Mayor. And I would just add that climate's been studied for 20 or 30 years. We've known it's a crisis, and now it's an emergency, not just on the world stage, but across California. California has some of the most aggressive climate goals in the nation, and it's time for us as a city to recognize the precarious situation that we're in. And I'll just comment on electrification, that there, you know, I don't think it necessarily causes more expensive housing. In fact, quite a few low-income projects go with electrification because it's a less expensive option. But I believe we had three head nods on that, at least. Actually, four. We did, yes. On both of these items. So, I mean, I feel confident with the head nods we have that I don't need to continue to explain this.
But thank you. We do have head nods on that, and I always want to provide opportunity for elaboration, discussion, and even dissension, if there is dissension. So that's part of the process, and really what I consider to be debate, appropriate debate. So with that, Mr. Collins, I believe you're looking for adoption of the proposed city goals, goal statements, short-term and long-term action items with the changes that have been made.
Correct.
That's the motion by myself.
I'll second that.
All right. Motion by Mayor Hitting, seconded by Councilmember Addis to adopt the proposed city goals, goal statements, and short-term and long-term action items with the three changes that have been recommended this evening. And I'll open it up for any further discussion. Looking around, seeing none. Then we will go to a roll call vote on this, please.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
Councilmember Barton?
Yes.
Councilmember Ford?
Yes.
Councilmember Heller?
No.
And Mayor Hitting?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-1.
Okay, thank you for that. Good discussion. And that moves us to agenda item number 2. This is discussion and direction of state representation to support the City of Morro Bay projects and economic development initiatives. And I will turn it over to Mr. Collins again.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council members. I'll be brief in my remarks and also want to introduce at the end of my presentation the team from Townsend Public Affairs. But before doing that, just the recommendation before you this evening is to authorize the city manager to execute an approximate 8-month retainer agreement between the months of November through the end of June 2022 with Townsend Public Affairs in a form reviewed and to be reviewed and approved by the city attorney to support efforts to gain state support and funding for our city goals, support offshore wind development and other economic development initiatives beneficial to Morro Bay, seek state grants for the water reclamation facility project, one water infrastructure projects and other infrastructure projects, and also keep the city apprised of other relevant state legislation and funding opportunities. The fiscal impact, it's a $5,000 per month retainer, which is sort of par for the course for these kind of contracts, which includes, but it's a little different in this case, it includes both the representation, but also support for grant funding, which you don't typically find. It's usually another retainer cost. So pretty city proposes an approximate 8-month contract for a total amount of $40,000. It's recommended this be split between the city's general fund and then the water and sewer funds to support wharf and other water and sewer projects. If this is approved, we would bring back a budget amendment at the mid-year. So by way of background, based upon the historic size of the state budget for this year and the fact a lot of it's still being defined as we speak, this is a major opportunity for funding for cities, unlike any other time in history. And with us just approving city goals that include things like infrastructure, homelessness, housing, climate action, and the other issues that the mayor identified, we initiated outreach to several firms that provide are reputable and provide services that could help the city unlock funding for all those initiatives. So the purpose of this outreach was to understand the services the firms provide and if the city would be a good fit with their existing portfolios. So we did outreach with three firms and heard back from two. Just as another side note, we do have federal support through the Ferguson Group for the WHARF program, offshore wind, COVID-19 funding, et cetera. We've retained their services through the end of this fiscal year. In addition, we have support for our harbor through the CMANC or the California Marine Affairs and Navigation Conference, which represents harbors in California. So we pay a small fee for that. And we also have representation through the California League of Cities for state issues. But remember, they represent all 400 plus cities. And so they're more of an aggregate support for cities, but not necessarily at the detailed level or the city level for Morro Bay. Which brings us to the discussion. We reached out to three groups. We heard back from two. We felt that Townsend Public Affairs was the superior proposal in that they both have a very long track record of bringing funding to their clients, but also the deep bench, and their retainer includes both the legislative support, but also grant writing support, which we desperately need because we don't have the staff to write those grants, which are very exacting, and having those relationships with agencies are very important, which they do have. So should council approve this recommendation, staff would work with the city attorney's office to draft and execute a contract with Townsend Public Affairs with those terms of the identified earlier above. And then we'd get to work rather quickly and sort of onboarding and getting to know each other, talking about priorities and trying to assess where best to apply their efforts and ours with this budget. So again, based on their experience and proven value to other local governments, we feel this is the appropriate time to lock into a contract for state advocacy and grant support. And I would like to introduce Christopher Townsend, who is the president of Townsend Public Affairs, to quickly say hello and introduce his team, and then we could entertain, obviously, public comment and any questions that council has. So
welcome, Christopher.
Hello, thank you very much. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you again for the opportunity to pursue your business and the opportunity to help you achieve your vision and legacy. I'd like to introduce our team again. I'm Christopher Townsend, the founder and president of the firm. This is our 23rd year in business. So I like to say we've seen it all. No one ever knows it all, but we like what we think we can bring to the table for you. With me today is Senior Director Richard Harmon, and also Senior Associate Andres Ramirez. And then there's another gentleman, Alex Gibbs, who's our top grant writer. He's actually just had his first baby, so he's on paternity leave, but should be back in about a couple of weeks. So we do have a deep bench, as we like to say. I've got 16 people to draw from on a variety of policy areas. So kind of wanted to just let you know who we are. We specialize in lobbying and getting funding for local public agencies in California. We've worked with large cities, small cities, urban cities, suburban cities, rural cities, and coastal cities. So, and we're familiar then with the challenges that you can face. Enjoyed going through your this discussion, the presentation on your priorities, and I loved how you had your purpose statement. And I thought I'd share with you at Townsend Public Affairs, our purpose is to serve as champions for better communities. That's our mission statement, our purpose statement, and that's how we approach this. Whatever we can do to help make Morro Bay a better place that supports you, that's what we're going to do. So I also wanted to quickly touch on a theme I was hearing a lot was about capacity and capabilities. And we greatly respect that. One of the things you'll get from us is if we're doing it right, we are not a burden on staff. We actually become an extension of staff. And we will take care of everything that can be done that we know. We ideally make it the only burden we place on your staff is to get some information that maybe only you have. But we're not, we'll do all the work. We do the lobbying, we do the writing, the phone calls, the briefings to put you guys in a position to be successful. So I wanted you to know that we're sensitive to that value you've been expressing. We vet these grants. We're not going to, well, here's a nice grant, but here are the strings attached, you know, real quickly. Nope, that's not what we want. We don't just toss it on you and ask you guys to figure it out and then tell us to give us a green light. I hope that was a quick little snapshot of who we are. I didn't want to take too much time, and we're happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you again for this opportunity.
Thank you, Christopher. Appreciate that. Scott, did you have any further comments?
No, Mayor. And yeah, thank you, Christopher. It's good to meet you. And I appreciate Richard's work and kind of bringing a proposal forward very, very quickly, I think within a day, and also providing samples of the work that they've done for places like Pismo Beach and just sort of the get us an idea of sort of what to expect in terms of service level, which was really good. And he provided a lot of information without me even asking. So that was great.
Thank you. So I would like to open it up for any council questions of either Scott or Christopher and team. So if you have questions, go ahead and give me the raised hand sign. This would be the time. Turn around. Seeing no hands. Christopher, I just might ask, I've been knocking on doors at the state level here recently, and it's been very difficult to access, I think, the touch points that are necessary to receive funding in some of the areas that we have opportunities in the next few years, specifically offshore wind and the development of offshore wind off of our coast. Our battery energy project, the largest in the world, now going through our planning process, et cetera. My question to you is, it appears that at present, at least during this budget cycle, significant increased amounts of state funds are available to local entities. And Could you maybe characterize that for me as compared to past periods and either validate that or invalidate that notion?
Sure, absolutely. And an excellent question. We are in a unique spot right now, and we don't know how long it's going to last, and we never expected to, where there are some robust financial opportunities of how, despite everything that was predicted so far, the state budget numbers have been coming in above projections. For 3 years ago, they brought back earmarks. We were literally putting projects in the budget to get direct funding. So what an earmark means is in the budget, it may have a category for parks and rec, and then it might put in there, of this amount, no less than $1 million goes to the city of Smallville to build a park. And so, but for a variety of purposes, police stations, water projects, putting in broadband services to close the digital divide. So one, that's real, and that will be one of the first things we'll be working on with Scott, is he is looking at the opportunities to go get an earmark, and that's carried by your legislator. And we're really fortunate because you have John Laird as your senator and longtime friend, dynamite on a lot of the issues we care about, former chair of the budget committee when he was in the assembly. So we're going to push hard. I want to turn that into a question of not if, but what and how much. And so that's, you know, one thought there. Jordan Cunningham, we'll see. He's actually got a moderate reputation. Some Republicans got some earmarks, depending on what kind of deals were cut. We'll work closely with Jordan and give him every opportunity to also look at submitting something. There are more increase in funding that went into this budget, and a lot of it still huge numbers, some of it more programmed than others, but so many things are on the table. In fact, just a quick sidebar, Council Member Jeff Heller, you spoke eloquently about climate change and, you know, sea level rise and those issues, and you were kind of inquiring, hopefully there was some funding around that. And I'd like Andres Ramirez on the call, if you could quickly touch base, some quick examples about what's going on so that you guys know you're investing in an effort that will try to hit on your issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Christopher. Honorable Mayor and Council Members and Mr. City Manager Andres Ramirez. One of the things we worked on closely in this past budget cycle, in which we continue to track and monitor and engage on, was some of the massive investments in climate resiliency, specifically the climate resiliency package in the 2021-2022 state budget. That amounted to roughly $3.7 billion. And I do want to note that this is unique because it's $3.7 billion, excuse me, rolled out over a 3-year period. And for most, not all, but most of the pots, they will be increasing in the amount that they are rolling out, many of which are competitive grant opportunities going into 2022, 2023, and even up to 2024. So as Christopher alluded to, you know, Councilmember Heller and some others referred to some things around climate change, ocean protection, and other items in that area. And there are a number of opportunities, and I don't want to get too in the weeds at this moment. Happy to delve into it more at another time. But there are opportunities, and oftentimes opportunities that are actually growing over the next couple of years that we could really engage in. And seek funding for on behalf of the city. So I think it's just a really exciting time. I think it's a, you know, the opportune time for us to help the city seize the moment and really engage on a deeper level.
Thank you, Andres.
Yeah, and thanks for that. You affirmed, I think, the statement that I made earlier that declaring a climate emergency, I believe, does increase our opportunities for significant funding now that has become available. And Andres, thank you for outlining that. And that's a $3 billion is a lot of money that's potentially available. So I appreciate that. The other question I had, perhaps Christopher, that you could address, does your firm just go after grant money from state-related agencies, or do you pursue grants from philanthropic organizations as well?
Thank you. The answer is wherever there's money, we go after it for you. So we have approached, we've worked with some nonprofits before, you know, community foundations. You know, the one thing I love about the government ones is they'll usually can be a lot more lucrative, but we'll take, you know, anything we can find. Sometimes we work with other agencies or JPAs or some larger things that are looking. Sometimes it's been, we have a city that's trying to do something with environmental, and we can get the Air Resources Board to put some money into it, or a water district put some funding into a community outreach program that the city wants to do about water efficiency. We also, there are federal earmarks to be pursued. You have a good federal firm, so I'll, assuming they're covering it, of course, we'll be willing to help and support that in any way we can. But yeah, nothing's off limits. And no matter, the point will be, we'll always be coordinating with Scott to ensure, you know, this is something that you would want. And the nice thing with our fee, we're incentivized to do as many as we can because we want to win. And from Scott's perspective, he doesn't have to worry about, okay, which I've only can afford them to do one or two this month. So which one I pick? Now it's like everything's on the table, and, you know, we'll, so quantity is part of it. You know, there's, you know, not everything's going to win. If we can get a lot of good stuff out there, our ships will come in. We have a great process. Sometimes you don't win the first time, but we meet with the state officials and the grant agencies, and we find out, hey, why did we fall short? And we have a great relationship with them. They're great about telling us what we could do to cure our application. So the next round, we're going to nail it. And then there'll be another city trying to apply. And even if they're close, now the granting agency feels a sense of ownership of your grant. And we have a great time getting it on round two if we don't get it on round one in those systems. So, but everything's on the table, and including the earmarking. Another tactic we could use, we might recommend on some of the larger things, if you're trying to get a much larger slice for the coast, you could help, we could have you be a part of a coalition of coastal cities. We work with a lot of them. And so sometimes in those numbers, it gets treated as, it's easier to get a larger slice, you know, a bigger investment. So we'll look at all those ways to find ways to get you guys money. So whether we legislate it or whether we write a grant and everything, we
appreciate that. Council Member Barton has her hand up. Yes, please.
I wanted to touch on one of the things that we were considering at our meeting last night was for the city to commit to the contribution to the COG pool of funds for a either a roundabout or a signalized intersection at highways 41 and 1. And I was just wondering if that kind of a project would be something that would be interesting to the state, especially considering that they're working on fixing 41 and 46. And this would be sort of an extension of that as you get to the coast. Just wondered your thoughts about that.
Sure. Actually, since we'd love to talk, we were speaking of roads, as you know, I cannot speak without letting Richard go first as my Caltrans expert, the former Caltrans staff. You know, Richard, if you want to comment.
Sure. Quickly. Thanks, council member. Actually, signing on is it's a perfect opportunity because the state's looking at its different investments around the state. It's an interesting time because we still have the SB1, the increase in the gas tax funding, and those programs are coming out again in the spring. Some of our work previously has been with like the city of Pismo Beach, where we have worked with SLOCOG and been part of their applications as part of the strategy, because individually we're not as competitive based on different factors. So we've worked collaboratively with the COG and have done follow-up to those applications with directly with the California Transportation Commission when the city's been in Sacramento, which is part of the work that we do. One of the remaining pieces of the budget, as you may be aware, is transportation. High-speed rail ended up being a sticking point this year between the governor and legislature. So everything associated with the new funding that was going to be part of the budget in this record, you know, revenues year of the budget is on hold until early next year. So right now is the perfect opportunity for us to be working with our legislators as well as the administration and then our local and regional partners to find some funding for our projects. So it's a perfect time for it, and it's a perfect strategy, especially in this part of the state on the coast. I think we found that collaboration with our regional agency is the best way to go.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your answering the questions. And I see Councilmember Addis has her hand up, please.
Thank you, Mayor. In light of what we heard about climate advocacy and other areas of need, water infrastructure, I'd like to move that we approve the staff recommendation that council authorize the city manager to execute an 8-month retainer agreement from November 21 to June 22 with Townsend Public Affairs in a form reviewed and approved by the city attorney to support efforts to gain state support and funding for the city's goals, support offshore wind development and other economic development initiatives beneficial to Morro Bay, seek state grants for the wastewater reclamation facility project, One Water infrastructure projects, and other infrastructure projects, and keep the city apprised of other relevant state legislation and funding opportunities.
I'll second that. And let me just add that really briefly, the success that we've had federally with our lobbyists has been tremendous with regard to securing a number of different grants, but also saving us literally close to $60 million through the SRF and WIFIA programs. And I haven't been involved in Washington with them for a number of years and do believe that there are significant opportunities now at the state level for leveraging funding. Now, if there's ever time for Morro Bay to have a state lobbyist involved in securing funds for us, now is the time. I've reviewed the background of your group. I believe you have significant capability and capacity. Thank you for picking up on that to serve us well. And I look forward to establishing a positive working relationship with your firm, Christopher, and appreciate you folks being here today. Thusly, my second to that. Is there any further discussion?
Councilmember Mayor, yes, I have one more question.
Okay. Yes.
So in looking at your list of earmarks here for 21-22, which is quite remarkable at nearly $270 million, one jumps off the page here that I'm curious about, the Oakland Post mixed-use development project, $180 million. Can you tell me a little bit about that project?
Sure. That is a project in conjunction with the City of Oakland and then the Port of Oakland, technically a separate entity. We represent the City of Oakland. And it's basically kind of an innovative mixed-use project, commercial, local retail commercial, higher density housing, and the opportunities to do other larger commercial purposes. So this was a part to help spearhead some private investment in the area. And to be candid, it's also really helpful when you know the chair of the budget committee in the Senate, who is Nancy Skinner, who represents that area. So we had more power to leverage there. So I would be remiss if I didn't try to modestly manage down your expectations of if we could get that large a project for you. But then again, I have no problem going to Ed Laird, or John Laird, excuse me, and saying, dude, you can't let Nancy Skinner out show your book. You know what I mean? Break some off here. So, but if that helps, that's the, but it's, that, a, it's a very, they're reutilizing some of the industrial parts of the port that they're
need to be reused for other purposes. So that's
what's so it's not all new construction. I guess that's the question I have.
Well, a lot of it is actually most of it is new construction.
Okay.
So there's not a lot that's being used for demolition or raising. It's stuff they've had. They originally had other plans for it, some other terminals, and now they're looking at the economics and also their need for housing, and they felt that was a good place to, an extension towards the north end of, the whole Jack London Square complex.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I have some ideas about that as a possibility here for Morro Bay if I can get support for it, but we'll talk about that at a later time.
Talk about it. Nothing's off the table when we approach it. So.
Well, I appreciate the attitude very much.
Great.
Those are my questions, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we do have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, I'll ask for a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Addis?
Yes.
Councilmember Barton?
Yes.
Councilmember Ford?
Yes.
Councilmember Heller?
Yes.
And Mayor Hedding?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Great. That concludes this item and our special meeting this evening. Scott, thank you very much for bringing this forward again. I appreciate your tenacity in recognizing the need and evaluating a number of firms and bringing this recommendation forward. Looking forward to working with you, Christopher, and your staff on issues related to Morro Bay. Thank you all for being here this evening. We'll go ahead and adjourn. Be safe and be well. We'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.